Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Tom and Talk with my co-host Hunter and Jamin. And I, of course, am John. What's going on, guys?
How's it going, man?
Just watching the game, you know, hoping to get a win tonight.
Need a win tonight.
We're watching mid-game right now, game two, Padres, Braves. A little bit embarrassing last night. Rosario, also, the first thing I wanted to talk about is Rosario missing that fly ball. I don't know how he missed the most routine play he dropped. And the first thing I thought was, we got to get Heredia in here. I don't care if it's lefty-righty matchup, any of that. We got to get Heredia out there. And they done that tonight, thankfully. But yeah, it's just it's sad to see that we sign Rosario and he's going to be a platoon, basically end up a bench bat.
But I mean, yeah, the way I'm looking at it, Hunter, is this: he had a great postseason, that's a given. But ultimately, dude, when we got him, he wasn't really on fire.
Yeah, I know. And everybody we got on, you know, they started hitting once they come to the Braves. In regards to Rosario, once he was healthy, because you know he was injured when he came here, but
he came off towards the end of the street season and kind of carried us a little bit there. And then I think he made his money during that NLDS, of course, with that performance. I mean, his defense was amazing. He was coming in clutch for us he was showing us what he could do when it was clutch time. But you know, now he's off to a rough start. Like I said, he missed a routine fly ball. The whole outfield is kind of looking rough right now. Duvall missed the ball today. It looked like it was kind of catchable.
Arcia missed two plays.
Yeah.
Two plays this game.
Outfield's looking rough.
Really bad.
Yeah. With Heredia out there, it's a total different story. Like in tonight's game earlier tonight, Duvall missed a ball barely, trying to dive in center field to catch it. The ball gets past or under his glove, and it looks like it's going to the wall, like would be a triple or inside the park home run. But Heredia is right there behind him, relays the ball back in, and it's only a routine double. I mean, that right there is the big difference. Like, there's so many small instances where having somebody like Heredia out there is an improvement over, you know, Rosario, Ozuna, somebody like that.
But is he really an offensive improvement? That's the question.
Right now he is, man. He's hitting the ball hard. Heredia
He's not an offensive improvement. He's a defensive improvement.
Not over Ozuna. Not over Ozuna hitting wise, of course not. But no, yeah. Ozuna needs to be DH permanently.
Well, that was the idea in the first place, because Acuna is supposed to be out in the outfield, not Ozuna.
Well, yeah, I like it when it's Heredia, Duvall, Acuna, and then Marcel DH'ing.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. When we get Acuna here back towards the end of the month, our defense dynamic changes completely. I mean, so that's going to help us out a ton. But it's obvious at some point that we're going to have to get another outfield bat, you know, somebody that can play some defense as well, because we're lacking that right now. I get nervous every time Marcel's out there in left field, man. He's dicey, you know. I know he won a gold glove, I think, years ago, but
He's actually not doing too bad right
he's
now.
He's not like, that bad.
Rosario's looking worse, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can agree to that, but
what's truly
disappointing
me?
Duvall won a gold glove.
Jamin, is this: one, the defensive play is horrendous. Number two, our pitching staff looks like absolute dog crap. Except for maybe Wright and that Elder.
That's a big time surprise right now. Bryce Elder looked like a stud on the mound at 22.
Oh, he did.
And along with Strider,
he looked good.
We drafted these guys 2 years ago, and they're up here contributing the way they're doing, throwing 100. I mean, their stuff is showing they can play at this level. You know? So, especially, I like Strider in particular with that 100 miles an hour, and he has that nasty slider to go along with it. But then you have Bryce Elder give us, what was it, five innings, I believe. He started wailing towards the end. I think Soto hit a home run off of him, which, I mean, you know, what can you say about that?
Was it five innings or six? Because I think it was six.
It could have been, but he pitched a great game.
He pitched a hell of a game for a
started off rough. Started off rough.
Our friend said he looked like a Todd from Breaking Bad. Like the redheaded guy that's like a murderer that shot the child at Breaking Bad on him.
He was definitely being a Todd, that's for sure.
He looks kind of like that, yeah, for sure. But yeah, he pitched great. I'm not worried about Freed, Morton. Morton will come back from that.
I am worried about Anderson. Pat
no, Anderson's who he's my main target of worry and on our pitching stuff. Because I feel like there's something wrong with him. Like he's going to have to fix something.
He's proven, I mean, he pitched amazing in the World Series, right? And yes, he's pitched great in the playoffs in general. I think he's done pretty well for us in the postseason. It's just like A.J. Minter. A.J. Minter don't really show up until the playoffs. Like, he's struggling this year a little bit.
Yeah.
I know he just pitched a good inning earlier, but.
He had a solid inning. I mean, he went to too many full counts for sure, but. He still did what he had to do to get out of the inning, which is what
That's the nature of a reliever.
Yeah.
Like you're going to be good one season, you're going to be mediocre the next, you're going to have another good season. Like that's just how that works. Because it's all circumstantial. When you come into the game, affects your stats, affects how everything looks. But, yeah, right. I'm trying not to comment on the game that we're watching right now.
Oh, hey, why not, man? We're watching it together.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you don't worry about Freed. You don't really worry about Morton. They both kind of proved it. And I feel the same way with Ian, to be honest with you. He's kind of shown that when it matters, he'll step up.
So I know I'm not worried about him. And I feel the same way. But what I'm saying is something physically I feel is wrong with him. I'm not saying he can't. I've watched him do it, like, in the playoffs.
No, dude, I've been in complete agreement with you on this. At first, I thought maybe it was just he didn't have enough time in the off season to prepare, but...
spring training looked horrible. He's missing that zip on his pitches. And they've talked about his shoulder already. And if you don't remember last year, he went on the DL, for similar issues, so... There's a good chance he might end up having to get Tommy John or something like that. And that's why Kyle Wright, his emergence would be huge.
Yeah, it's a big year for Kyle Wright for sure. And he's played up to the task so far. I mean, I think if he can even win us 10 games, that's going to be a great year for him.
That would be a really good year.
And I can kind of see it happening with the start he's got right now. I mean, his thing, I think, is confidence more than anything else. If he can start getting his confidence and getting in the groove and know that he's got a spot every 5 days, I think we'll start to see him grow into his own. I mean, he's a Vanderbilt guy. You know, these guys have been groomed to be major league players. And
for sure.
I think he's going to step up.
And honestly, we're talking about Elder, right? With struggling the way he's struggling, right?
Yeah.
He's a definite solid option there. I would like to see Mueller, honestly.
Yeah, Mueller's who I'm waiting to see.
That's
his only problem is control. His problem is control, but he's intimidating on the mound. He's a large dude that can throw hard. Man, he looks good out there, but he's kind of like a better version of Sean Newcomb. But have the same control problems a little bit, but I think he'll be a little bit better than that, and I'm ready to see that.
Well, me too. Definitely.
It's gonna happen at some point soon in the season.
And Newcomb, he's had his struggles, and I think he's on his last option. So if we send him down, somebody's gonna claim him on waivers, and that might be what it takes for him to kind of get back to good, because he's just a year or two away from almost no hitting the Dodgers. So he's more than capable of. Pitching.
Okay, so
he just
guys,
maybe needs a different scenery.
We talked about Jackson, off air, right? And Hunter, I believe you said second half of the season. On April 13th, he just underwent Tommy John surgery. He had TJ. That's why that tweet made so much sense. That tweet he put out was, he's gonna crush rehab and. going to be back in 2023 strong. So.
Oh, okay.
I hate to hear it.
This is free agent year too, so this is this contract year. So who knows what kind of deal? He'll just get a 1 year deal somewhere probably next year. Hopefully we can re-sign him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, our whole bullpen, we're fine though without him. To be honest with you, I mean, you know, Jansen's gonna be there. We got Will Smith, Matic. We ain't really got to see a whole lot of him, but you know, we know he's solid.
Yeah, to be honest, losing him is like losing, I mean, a better version of like what Jesse Chavez was last year or something like that. Like Josh Tomlin.
Not like,
I won't say like Josh Tomlin, because he was a cleanup guy. Yeah, yeah. He's definitely a good pitcher. Don't get me wrong. But we can do without him, because I think Colin McHugh is going to take Jackson's place this year.
That's somebody we ain't even talked about. Colin McHugh is solid. I think we got a guy named the Thornburg. He's a solid bullpen guy. We ain't even really used him much.
No, we've used him in these past, like, the two out of the past three games where we've been getting beat, and he kind of comes in, and he's pitched good innings when he did. So, yeah.
Yeah, but above all else, that Spencer Strider kid, man. I'm really excited to kind of see what he can do for us.
Does anybody else think he looks like Luigi, like with that mustache? I mean, I'm wanting to know if his brother Mario can pitch as well. Let's get him on the mound while we're at it, since we've just lost Jackson.
He definitely looks like somebody I've seen before, but I can't remember if it's somebody I actually know or somebody I just walked by on the street in our town. Like,
I'm sorry, but he looks like Luigi off Mario Brothers. I'm sorry, he does.
He's like he's some dude from the 70s or something, like bringing that back. I don't know.
I mean, it's not even a porn stash. He's not even bringing back a porn stash. That is a Luigi stash. That's all it is.
You just don't see the just the stash with no actual goatee anymore.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, exactly. It stands out.
Hey, whatever helps you throw 100 on the corners.
Exactly.
His first four pitches, I seen him throw over four 100-mile-per-hour fastballs. That's impressive.
Dude, you know what tells me? The fact that he has that stash, no goatee, no mustache, that tells me he's confident. And those 100-mile fastballs tell me that too. So, yeah, he seems to be confident in himself, and I'm ready to see him start some games.
Now, this has got me a little nervous. I know we are trying not to discuss the game that's currently going on, but Darren O'Day's on the mound.
He's been doing pretty good so far.
I hadn't seen this, enough of a sample size for me not to get nervous with him on the mound.
Yes, but this Padres team's been nailing fastballs. The breaking balls are what they've been missing. Maybe Darren O'Day can deliver that. That's why they're putting him in a close game.
Yeah, he's what, 39 years old and still out there slinging it? And I think he got hurt last year.
He's been out for 2 years.
Yeah, he got
2 years. Yeah,
and he went to the Yankees.
Yeah, that's where he got hurt.
Yeah, he was on the Braves, got hurt. Went to the Yankees for a little bit. I'm not sure how much he pitched, if any, there.
Ooh,
and he's back brave. It's like he never left.
Yeah, he got hurt with the Yankees. I think he was rehabbing over the offseason, and we still picked him up on a non-guaranteed deal. So he's pitched his way onto the roster.
Oh, no, he definitely has, but I'm saying that is some nasty stuff. Did you just see that?
Yeah, that's submarine
action. So deceptive. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. Oh,
got him swinging on a 78-mile-an-hour slider, like a foot outside the zone.
I mean, that's just.
Hey, Kyle Wright made Machado do that too. I seen earlier in the game, threw a fastball up and in, I think, and then got him chasing on that slider. Looked like it was right down the middle, and it just fell 2 feet off the plate.
Ooh. Okay. But yeah, outside of the game going on.
No more bragging about him. We need him to do his job.
Yeah. Yeah, there's still no outs.
Nope.
But anyways, guys, what else did you guys see in baseball that popped out this week? I seen Vladdy hit three homers in a game. And then next day struck out three times in a row to the same pitcher.
And I mean, Ozuna had that game the other day, man. He had, what, two bombs?
He had two bombs, couple hits.
That second one was a no-doubter. Like, you knew the moment it hit the bat. That was all gone.
Yeah. Tonight, he's had two hits, both bloop hits that he looked like he accidentally got a base hit on. So
yeah, I'm excited about Zuna, but I'll tell you, my favorite player, I think, on the Braves right now is Austin Riley.
Without
a doubt.
Yeah, definitely.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
He's just on it, man. And you're starting to see that chipper influence starting to come out on him. He's taking the ball off fields and hitting it hard. And his mechanics just seem short, simple, sweet. And he goes about his business like he's been there before. He's not, like, flashy like these other guys, man. And just I think he's ready to prove this year that he's serious, man. He's going to be a top first baseman for the next 10 years.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I think he's going to be like
– You're spot on with that.
He's definitely going to be a top third baseman. Defensively, offensively, it's all clicking.
He could be MVP by the time the season's over.
Once again,
discussion last year.
Do I need to say again that he was robbed last year of that MVP? That
he wasn't robbed. I'm trying to tell you this. No, Acuna would have won the MVP. Bryce Harper, he actually put up the numbers and the effort. He won MVP. And plus, you can't judge the playoffs with the MVP.
Well,
I would, if we could, then he would be MVP. But it's just not judged in as how the regular season goes. And I realize why he didn't win it. But he was at least top three MVP last year. He's moving up. He's got several years ahead of him where he could very well do that.
I think Acuna has a good chance still this year to win the MVP. I mean, I know he's going to miss a month, but he's the kind of player, man.
Yeah, but he'll have to go crazy to do that after missing a month, though. But it's possible with him. It's possible.
But, yeah, I mean, like, he's definitely the bright spot for the team. He is the...
Yeah, Riley and Olsen are the two new mainstays outside of Ozzy. Well, we actually got a lot of mainstays now that I think about it, but... As far as, like, fan favorites, Riley's definitely going to be up there. You're going to see a lot of his jerseys. Like,
dude,
we're all
going to
have
jerseys.
One. Yeah, I mean.
And seriously, after talking to Alan, I definitely want to buy one of the ones he's got.
Well, yeah. Well, I showed you a long time ago that
I know you did,
whole
but...
list of stuff. That, they're dirt cheap. You can get them anytime
you want.
Yeah,
like, seeing
it just
in
take
person.
A month and a half to get there.
Yeah, I actually just ordered an Austin Riley World Series jersey.
The legit one or the DHA one?
That's $20. I mean,
yeah.
Hey,
and dude, they really are good enough. Put it that way, they're good enough. But they do vary. Like some will be better than the others. You know, I mean, it's a Chinese sweatshop probably making them. So, who knows?
Back to the Braves, man. Yeah, Matt Olson, I think, is going to start to become the fan favorite too. I mean, what he's showing early on.
He's doing great. Even last night, he got a couple hits and walked during that mess. He walks a lot. And if he's not walking, he's trying to hit the ball when it's in the zone. So he's not just taking the walks and not trying to swing. Like, yeah, he's doing really good. And so far, Darren O'Day is doing really damn good.
Yeah, he's looking good.
But we got... Oh, no, this is Kim. I thought it was Machado. Anyways, sorry, guys. So, what else? Because there's been a lot happening in the league I've been so disappointed in the Braves. Okay, the Phillies. The Phillies, Marlins. Yesterday, 4-3 Marlins win against the Phillies. Two days before that, the Mets win two in a row against the Phillies. So the Phillies are on a four-game losing streak. Could be three. I think four. They lost 7-1 today, man. They've got a great lineup that's going to be just kind of like ours, hot and cold. Like, they've got a whole home run hitting team. They're going to go cold a lot, man. Yeah. Especially against good pitching staffs like the Marlins.
Yeah. I mean, but the Marlins have always been their kryptonite.
They have, but the Marlins have just now got like that great of a pitching staff.
Yeah, the Marlins definitely have a really good pitching staff, but the Phillies do as well. I think they'll end up racing towards the end.
They don't.
Wheeler, you can't tell me Wheeler's not a solid pitcher, man.
Wheeler's great.
Aaron Nola's going to bounce back. He's going to have a good year.
Nola's going to do what Nola does.
Nola's starting to – he's one of those guys that'll – and we've all seen MLB guys like this that'll look great through 3 innings, 4 innings, and then have just a, you know, total collapse. And then halfway or three-fourths through their season, they'll have a complete collapse. And that's what happened. That's what's happened to Nola for like 3 or 4 years in a row. He's a good pitcher. He can be a good pitcher. But Ranger Suarez and Gibson. Gibson's had a couple good starts. He had a bad start against the Marlins here. But in his first start, he looked really, really, really good. But yeah, they got Ranger Suarez, or they got Wheeler, Ranger Suarez, Gibson, and then Nola occasionally. But he'll still lose you the game because in the fifth inning he'll give up 4 runs. Shit like that.
Now, hey, Hunter,
They're a decent staff, but they don't have anybody else to fill in like we do. We got Mueller, Davidson, we got all these guys. They don't have that because they can't develop it.
Well, you did ask me if I had anybody I want to bring up. A friend of the pod, Steamy Dave, he mentioned he wanted to hear us talk about Ohtani and what's going on over there.
What's up, Dave?
What's up, Dave?
Stevie. So what?
All right, so what's y'all's opinion on Ohtani right now?
Ohtani? Okay. So everybody, the obvious questions, if he can repeat that performance. What I think is he's still going to be stellar throughout in both ways, pitching and hitting. But I also think that he's going to take a slight regression in one of those areas, if not both, while still being amazing. But people are going to, you know, it's according to how bad that downturn is. But either way, he's going to be better, way above average in both. But I think he's going to regress a little bit in one or both areas.
Yeah, I think so. You have to. It's impossible to keep that pace up what he done last year. I mean, it's impossible. There's no way he's going to be able to repeat that.
No, I mean,
but offense, the
added pressure to repeat it.
You know, in face of the MLB game this past spring, so he's got a little bit of pressure on him now. But I mean, that team's loaded. It really doesn't even make any sense how these guys are not making the playoffs year in and year out. You got two of the best players in the majors, yet you can't even make the playoffs, not even get close. It's about like the Padres were last year. How do you have a team like this with Machado and Tatis, and they just brought up Abrams, and you're not making the playoffs? You're just falling apart year after year.
Well, you also had to look at the division they're in, though. The very factor is, I mean, you're playing in a division with the Dodgers and the Giants, who became good again. You know? It really comes down to that.
Yeah, everybody was focused on the Padres last year when San Francisco was leading the division almost all year. Nobody was really talking about it. Everybody kept expecting them to kind of fall back. And then they end up beating the Dodgers in the division series, which pretty much helped wear down the Dodgers for us to beat them in the NLCS.
Yeah.
I think the Giants done us a huge favor by wearing out their pitchers and stuff.
Well, Dave Roberts did us a huge favor by doing what he did.
Yeah.
So.
Using Urias to try to close out a game. That's the massive, you know, F up for them in the middle of that series.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was just using whoever, whenever. He did the same thing with May. He would just use him in the weirdest times. Like, I mean, this guy's a starter. What are you doing starting him in the fifth inning with a
May? Like, May was injured throughout the whole year. So he wasn't there, but He used a couple guys just like what you're referring to.
But
that was last year when we seen him in the NLCS. It's been 2 years in a row, so it starts to get mixed up a little bit.
Well, the good thing is, I mean, the Braves have set this precedent the last 3-4 years. Like, we're constantly in the postseason, so these young players have got this experience now. It doesn't faze them to be playing in Dodgers Stadium in October with the bright lights and all that has to offer. I mean, these guys have proven when the lights are brightest, we're going to step up and we're going to play, and it doesn't matter who we're facing.
But, I mean, like you're saying, I get what your point is, though. You know, with players like that, how can you not be in the postseason? And the Angels don't exactly play in, I mean, I'm not going to say they don't play in a competitive division. They do. But
Angels.
Yeah, we were talking about Ohtani.
Yeah, I think you missed a step in this conversation.
you stepped out for a second. We were talking about Ohtani, how that whole division, or how the team doesn't make any sense why they're not in the playoffs year in and year out.
Exactly, because they do have talent.
No, it makes plenty of sense.
But they don't have pitching.
They don't
have pitching.
So that makes plenty of sense.
Yeah.
But you have two of the best players in the majors, and Shohei and Mike Trout. It's like with the Padres with Tatis, Machado, and they just called Abrams. There's no excuse not to make the playoffs.
Did Riley just get another hit?
Yes. And Matt Olson got called strike three.
It was a bullshit call.
It was pretty close.
It was close enough.
It was too inside for him to swing. But look, damn, sorry, guys. We've got a little bit off topic.
I'm curious to see. I think this is a big year for Dansby, man. You know, he's kind of struck out a lot starting out here, but he's such a streaky hitter. Kind of waiting on him to start coming back around and giving us some clutch base hits, because he just flails at the ball. He goes weeks at a time, about like Austin did a couple years ago, where he would just flail and striking out on a constant basis, not even trying to make contact.
But Austin's made the necessary adjustments where he doesn't chase trash.
Absolutely. He's on it, man. He is. Yeah. He's a 300 hitter, and I think he's going to prove it. He's going to hit 30 bombs and hit 300. I think he's. Hopefully, that's going to be what he brings to the table year in and year out.
What he just done, driving the ball, you know, down the first baseline on a, you know, he's going to be a 300 hitter. He proves it all the time.
Who do you learn that from?
Chipper Jones.
Yeah.
Chipper Jones, Freddie Freeman. You know, he took the ball the other way all the time. That's what you do.
Ozuna.
I want to get your guys' thoughts on the, you know, next year they're switching to banning the shift. So I just wondering what y'all's thoughts on that was.
Well, I mean, I got to say, man, it does make the game a little more exciting, but it does take a little bit of the strategy out.
I got to see what it looks like, honestly. I have to see what they mean by that.
Well,
when they say ban the shift.
Well, look, we didn't always use shifts. I mean, growing up, we weren't taught to play with shift.
No, we weren't taught to play with shift. But in Major League Baseball, even before the shift, guys would move around the diamond a little bit based on your tendencies. It's not necessarily a new thing.
No, but yeah, I think this much.
They're just not going to be able to load people up on the right side for these pull hitters like you would see for Freddie and stuff. I don't think they're going to let them be in the outfield. Like the second baseman is not going to be able to be in right field anymore. You know?
Yeah, or Riley can't be, you know, the first right fielder.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to have like four people on the right side again, I think. It's practically what they're trying to take away. And it's going to help players like Olson, I think.
Olson's actually like Alfuse has been like right over that guy that's playing, you know, like the third outfielder, stuff like that. They've almost like adapted to it. So I'm curious to how it's really going to change some guys' trajectories in their careers. Certain guys are going to accept it's going to really shake things up, and it's going to screw a lot of pitchers that have been relying on it. I'm not sure what that's going to look like. I think it's going to change how we view a lot of players.
Well, honestly, with them using the shift, there's a way to beat it. I mean,
no, of course, yeah, and they've adapted to doing that
exactly,
and now so, they're used to doing that. Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I mean, it will make the game a little more entertaining, I guess. Which I guess is what they were going for in the first place.
Yeah, but I think it also might make certain pitchers, maybe on our team, on everybody's team, where they're not effective hardly anymore. It's a two-way street. Because, like I said, the pitchers have got used to having that, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They also have this new technology where I think they're trying to call in pitches through a headset to the pitcher.
Yeah.
So they're trying to take away the signs and stuff. Oh, yeah. And I know we're not using that. I think the Braves have steered against that, because even Darnold was talking about how that kind of takes away from the game a little bit, you know.
Well, it speeds things up from what I've noticed.
But you're not getting the same reading that a catcher gets with a guy looking for a certain pitch, or maybe he's on this or off of that. These guys in the dugout can't see the stuff a catcher sees. You know what I mean?
I agree, but the catcher can type in his own thoughts too. That doesn't change.
He shouldn't be able to. But the communication's going. It's basically like an offensive coordinator. So communication's coming from a coach straight to the pitcher. The catcher don't have really any. I mean, I guess he's got no pitches.
No. The catcher's got like a wristband thing on that has buttons on it. We seen it in spring training and in regular season. They've got like what looks like a wristband where they flip it up and they're typing in what they get. Even before that, you used to be able to see the catcher looking towards the dugout, to see like certain signs. That's only in certain situations. But yeah, the catcher is the one with like a digital wristband on. And in the hat of the pitcher, there's like an earpiece, which I've already seen.
Is it essentially
with the Giants
like a quarterback's mic in his helmet? Where they call in the play?
Yes. But I've already seen it doesn't take up so much time, but I've also seen like the Giants came up and they had to go to the mound several times to fix their pitcher's earpiece and their hat. There's going to be problems with that as well. It's just going to be growing pains.
All right. Well, hey, guys, and I don't mean to break up a great conversation, but we're going to have to take a quick break real quick, and then we're going to finish the show with a five-minute segment. Go.
Hey, welcome back, guys. Just watched Duvall here. Bring our lead up to 4-2 off a base hit to left field. Darnold came around and scored for us. So that's looking good so far in the eighth inning. Hopefully we can hold this lead and take this one home. What do you say, boys?
I'm with that.
Yeah, two-run double right down the line. Scored.
Beautiful shot. Beautiful shot.
Yeah, we really need to see that from Duvall after – kind of had a rough start, so that's really good to see. And Darnold just getting on base every time he's up, it seems like.
Like I said, Duvall's been popping up every single bat, and every single pop-up looks the same. So it's really good to see him drive the ball, horizontally for once, and just go down the line. Yeah, that's exactly what we needed at the right time. 4-2, the Braves got to hang on to this game. As if it was a Dodgers Braves game.
We need an extra run added on.
We got to bring in Matzik to close this down as if it's a World Series game.
Yeah,
Braves need some wins before we go on to play the Dodgers and Freddie Freeman at Dodger Stadium. I can't believe I just said that.
I can't believe you just said that either.
I mean,
Alan's probably cussing. If he heard that, he would be cussing right now. For sure.
Well, he's no longer part of the team, so I think we've accepted that. It sucks to see him in the Dodger blue, but
God, it sucks.
I think we still can take him. I think we'll knock him out of the playoffs. Hopefully, a repeat of last year.
By playoff time, we'll be ready to take him. I'm just scared of what it's going to look like when we play him here.
Yeah,
in their home ballpark.
Yeah, their home
might be ugly.
Because, dude, our record at the latrine is really bad.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
I mean, playoffs are one thing. The team's hyped. We've got re-energized players from across the league at the trade deadline. Things are different. But at the very start of the season, we're coming into, you know, we're not looking good. Hopefully tonight we can start something by getting a win, getting things going. But, yeah, I really don't. To be honest, I feel like Freddie, the way we've been seeing him, like the way he's looked in the interviews with the Dodgers, I feel like if the Braves came out and started doing poorly and all that, he's seen his teammates like that, I feel like he'd almost want to cry. Like, I feel like he just got divorced and he's heartbroken.
He's an emotional guy, man.
I don't know, man. I've been seeing his wife's tweets here recently. They don't seem too heartbroken.
Yeah, his wife's a different story.
Hey, I mean, you're getting paid $162 million, I mean, or whatever it was. I'm sure he'll be fine. But Freddie, he's always showed a little bit of emotion, I think. He's been a quiet guy, but I think you can kind of read between the lines when he talks about certain things, you know, especially when it comes to the Braves, because that was his family for so long, you know what I mean? So I think he's still kind of sour about it, like we all are.
That's the thing. He'll get along and get in tune with the Dodgers and be perfectly happy here very soon. It's just all this happened subtly to him, and he was so used to and so ingrained in the Braves country that it's an even bigger shock to him and a shock to his system than it is for Braves fans. So when the Braves come to town, he's definitely gonna feel something about it. But yeah, he's gonna be happy about it soon.
I'm looking forward to when Freddie comes back, man, to Truist Park, because I think that's when we're gonna give him his World Series ring. So that'll be kind of cool to see.
Well, I think he'll have it before then, because we're about to see him.
He asked specifically for us to give it to him when he came to Truist on the second time, because he presented it to him.
Which hopefully that doesn't mean he's gonna stick it to us in the process.
I hope so, probably.
You know what? In reality, though, he gets the ring and then he gets it again when he comes to Truist Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we'll probably see some tears from him, too, when we see him step in that batter's box with a different, you know, being in the visitors' clubhouse for the first time.
I'm not going to lie. I might get a little emotional myself.
There'll be a lot of there'll be a lot of memes and GIFs come from that. You'll see on Twitter and Reddit.
Yeah. I'm sure. Did you guys see that little clip of Freddie? I don't remember what team they were playing, but the guy on first base it's like, I think his dad died that day or something. He got a base hit.
Freddie
patted him and kind of comforted him, gave him a little hug, you know, typical Freddie.
Yeah. It was kind of funny the way he patted him on the back. He's like, here, here, awkward back slap. Like, it didn't look. Yeah. I'm trying to think of who that was, because it's a player I know, but he's not like a super well known. So I was trying to remember who that was, but.
Yeah, looks like we got Maxick here warming up for the eighth, so that'll be good to see.
Yeah, and we got the bases loaded with two outs here. Lamet, it's interesting that the Padres have converted Lamet into a reliever when he was their best starter, or one of their number two in 2019.
Yeah, not quite understanding that move, actually.
Which move?
I mean, did he sit out in 20 and do crappy in 21?
No. He had an injury, but he's still a starter. But yeah, they've just been using him as a weapon in the bullpen, like we would with somebody like Strider.
Yeah, pretty much.
Who's a starter, but you know, he's a great weapon to come out and just throw 100 mph, 3 strikes, fastballs, and you're done. Okay, Dansby. It's Dansby with bases loaded, 2 outs.
All right, Mr. Clutch, it's time. Step it up.
What was that? And strike two.
What the heck was that?
Both out of the zone.
I know the Braves got off to a kind of a rough start, man, but I think by the end of the season, we're going to have over 90 wins. We're going to have a better record than we have last year, for sure.
Oh, yeah. No,
I'm not really too worried about it.
Yeah, we're going to have a better record than last year. And if you look at the record we had, at, you know, like 37 and like, what was it at the after the trade deadline?
Oh, yeah, we were like 10.
37 and something.
No, we were 44.
No. Yeah. Right after the trade deadline.
Think about it. Trade we won deadline 44 games before the All-Star break, right? We won 44 games after the All-Star
pitch.
Break.
Wild pitch. We just scored without Dansby having to do nothing.
Well, good.
Okay, but no, my point is I kept remembering seeing that statistic, 37 and like 12 or 14, something like that. And we're gonna have at least a 500 or better record at the trade deadline, and then Alex is gonna do everything he can to make that team better. And we're going to win our division, and it's going to be us and the Mets. The Phillies, they're going to be right there with us, but I can already tell there's too many holes there, even though they've got a potent lineup. Yeah. And they may beat us a lot when we play them. Oh, no, this is going to get challenged here.
It's not getting
He's going to be out.
He's in.
I just had deja vu. I've done seen this play.
Balm?
Oh, wow. No, I mean literally the same play. I feel like I just had deja vu. But anyways.
So the challenge, he was called safe at home, so that should give us the benefit of the doubt.
One thing I didn't see the catcher doing, which usually happens on a pass ball, safe. Is even with a runner on third, you'll have the catcher on one.
Okay, what do y'all feel about the NFL, style? Yeah, he is.
Oh, he's safe by mile.
The NFL. What do you think, Jamin? And well, you two guys watch football.
Yeah,
I don't really watch football. Okay, how do you feel about the NFL style umpire announcement? I like it.
I like it better, actually.
You think they should put some pizzazz in it, come up there and be like, and actually explain what just happened.
I think it'd actually give the viewers at home a lot better.
I would just like it if they went into full, actual explanation about it, like the call, because some of these calls are so convoluted.
Yeah.
Like things just look like it would just be interesting to hear them try to explain it. But yeah, these umps didn't go through ump school, literally, like ump college. They didn't go through all that to be like public announcers, so I'm sure a lot of them are kind of like, they don't really want to speak in public to a crowd of 40,000 people. But yeah, I like it. I really do.
Well, anyways, guys, we said we'd take it about 5 more minutes.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. We've been lacking a little bit. We're on Discord, so we're talking over each other. The audio is bad. But we thought we'd put something out for you guys just for the hell of it. So.
And by the way, Steamy Dave, thanks for the shout out to what you wanted to hear. Anything else you want? Or anybody else wants to know or have us talk about, we're glad to talk about. So just shoot it out there to us, and we'll make sure to shout you out and talk about whatever you want.
Give us conversation topics. And Jamin, I thought 2 or 3 times throughout this, I thought you gave a couple good insights, especially about Austin Riley.
Yeah, that was really good.
I think we've all been feeling for a while, and you articulated it.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, guys. Peace out.
All right, man. Later.